On the Other Hand by Braver Angels, Arkansas.
Hello and welcome to On the Other Hand, in which we seek to explore politics and other issues of importance to our community here in Central Arkansas. We do that through conversations with various community leaders. I'm your host, Glenn White, and I'm here with my co-host, April Chatham Carpenter. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. We're part of a national organization that tries to reduce political polarization by promoting honest but respectful dialogue among people of all political beliefs. Our progress as a community and country, we believe, requires that we actively seek common ground with the other side, so that way problem solving can occur. So stay tuned for today's conversation as we learn how community leaders in Central Arkansas are helping work towards solutions. So let's welcome today's guest now. Who have we got, April?
Well, Glenn, our guest for today is someone I'm very excited to hear from. I've known him for a little bit of time and have followed his work in the community. It's Kwame Abdul-Bey, and Kwame is a very active local community leader, and he's going to tell us about the variety of work he's going to be doing and has been doing. He's working in the area of racial justice and related community issues. So Kwame, I'd love for you to introduce yourself to our listeners in terms of your work and passions.
Wow. Well, so that I don't take up the entire interview introducing myself, I'll choose to be brief. I am Kwame Abdul-Bey. I am a Master of Public Service candidate at the University of Arkansas Clinton School for Public Service. And I am also a Master of Public Administration candidate at the UALR Graduate School, where I'm also working to get a graduate certificate in conflict mediation. And I think I can throw in there that I am a pending student at the UALR Bowen School of Law. So I said all of that just to say that I label myself as a social justice policy entrepreneur. And when I say that, what I'm saying is I'm interested in making sure that the people in our society, everybody gets what they can, gets what they need when they need it on an equitable basis. And I'm interested in doing that now since the summer of 2020. I'm interested in doing that in the policy realm. So that's why I'm going after all of these degrees, because without these degrees, no one listens to me in policy. Everybody listens to me on the street, but nobody listens to me in the state house. So I've decided to go and get all of these graduate degrees so that I can actually do something on a grander scale that would be beneficial to many more thousands of Arkansans.
So you're doing some work. You talk about your work in the community, and I know that you're involved in several organizations. Now, I want you to get to how you got into Braver Angels organization, how you found out about us, why you decided to reach out to us and get us involved. But it might also help for folks to know a few of the other organizations you're involved with as well.
Oh, yes. Well, my wife, Clarice, and I, we are the co-conveners of the Arkansas Peace and Justice Memorial Movement, which is functions as the Arkansas chapter, per se, of the Equal Justice Initiative, Attorney Brian Stevenson. And what we do is we work to memorialize the documented 493 victims of racialized terror lynchings here in the state of Arkansas, having the third highest numbers of documented victims. And I keep saying documented because we know that if they're documented, then there's probably two or three times as many that were not documented. So that's the goal that we've been working on for the last, I think, since 2018, 2019. And in doing that work, I'm also a paraprofessional as far as the medical field is concerned. I've worked in the ambulance as an advanced tactical EMT for about 10 years, and I also do the emergent care in the ER and also do home care as well. But I had a client who I was working with in her home for her husband, who had been given a set amount of time before he was to die. And she and I spent a lot of time talking about all of the different things that I'm interested in as far as bringing people to the table from different backgrounds, different persuasions, different thoughts, so that we could all sit down and talk as a big family and agree to move forward, you know, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder. And she is a member of, I'm trying to remember, St. Mark Episcopal Church over off of Mississippi. And she told me, she said, well, at our church, we're getting ready to do something that's called Better Angels. And you should really come out to that. And then I'm like, oh yeah, sure. And so she gave me the information for the meeting. And then 3 weeks later, the shutdown happened. So I never actually made it to the meeting. after the shutdown, I said, okay, well, I'm hearing this thing now that's called Brave Rangers. I wonder if they're the same things.
You missed some things in the start and then what happened afterwards, because we went from Better Angels, our original name, to Braver Angels, and that was a little confusing, but we had to do that because some other organization turned out to have the name first. But yeah, I remember the St. Mark's thing. We were just getting started. We were going to be doing a big thing at that church, and then the pandemic, you know, that kind of came about, and everybody went into their cubby holes.
Yeah.
and we're still trying to crawl out of it now. I understand.
Okay. Well, I was down to go to that meeting.
well, you found your way to us anyway, and we appreciate it.
You found your way so much that you actually agreed to serve as a co-chair of our Braver Angels Central Arkansas chapter. And I remember, Kwame, when we talked to you about this, you said, well, I know you need a red and a blue co-chair, but I'm neither one. I'm purple. And I guess that meant that you saw yourself as a blend of both political views, or you don't associate with either one in particular. So I'd kind of like to hear more about kind of what accounts for that combination of views, since, you know, with working with the issues that you're working with, some people might connect them to be more blue issues. I don't think so. I think they're human rights issues that go across this political spectrum. But you want to talk to us about why you call yourself purple?
Yeah, I identify with purple first and foremost because I'm a big fan of Prince. But Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, towards the years before he was assassinated, when he started becoming more vocally political and divergent from his the stance that everybody had gotten comfortable with him being, he said a lot of profound things. And one of the things that he said is that Black America should not have any permanent friends, only permanent interests. And that quote resonates with me. It resonates with me because I'm not too keen in support of the two-party system that we have here in the United States. if you even look at George Washington's farewell speech, he warned us about having this two-party system. And I had a chance to read the speech when I was attending Liberty University Law School, and I was assigned to read the speech, and it was so prophetic. And he was talking about the importance of us, like you said, April, dealing with people from a human standpoint versus a political ideology standpoint. And for me, being a red or being a blue doesn't make sense to me personally from my standpoint, because I'm a Black man in America, and neither of the two political parties that are in power have a clean track record with people that look like me. Mm-hmm. You know, they take turns beating people that look like me up. And I would really like to see myself as an independent thinker, and I want to do what's best for, first and foremost, what's best for me and my family, what's best for my neighborhood, what's best for my community, and what's best for our city, our county, and our state. And what's best doesn't necessarily have a political party platform attached to it. It has what we want to do that is good for all of us, for the health, safety, and welfare of everyone. And I don't think that the Democrats have a carte blanche platform that takes care for that. And I don't think that the Republicans either. If I were to join a political party, which I have not done so, but if I were, I would probably be either a Libertarian or a Green Party or a U.S. Constitution Party.
Hmm. That helps to understand a little bit about the purple thing, that and the Prince reference.
Of course.
So, as you know, then, Kwame and the Braver Angels organization, one of the key things we do is we try to get people together from different sides, whatever shade of red, blue, or purple you are, and get some things done, because that's not happening much. The more we go into the political polarization, we're just fighting each other's groups and tribes and parties, and nothing gets done. So it's really important for us to explore with our guest what kinds of things they are doing or they're seeing done in the community where you reach across differences and get some things accomplished. So can you maybe tell us a little bit about some of the things you have done or maybe you're planning to do that help the Central Arkansas community come together and accomplish a few things?
Well, under the guise of the Arkansas Peace and Justice Memorial Movement, in addition to us working very hard to memorialize those 493 documented victims of racialized terror lynching, we also are the Central Arkansas chapter of Coming to the Table. And Coming to the Table is a national nonprofit that has a very similar mission as Braver Angels, but whereas Braver Angels deals primarily with the political divide, Coming to the Table deals primarily with the racial divide as it relates to historical racial discrimination, inequality, injustice, start going all the way back to slavery. And it was actually founded by descendants of a enslaver and descendants of the enslaved coming together to say, hey, you know, we can't be bound in our present day by the travesties of the past. We need to learn from them, grow from them, heal from them, and then move forward together. And that's what coming to the table does. So coming to the table, we work with a lot of different organizations, particularly the Clinton School of Public Service, Pulaski County, Judge Barry Hyde's office works with us. We also work with the Little Rock Racial and Cultural Diversity Commission, where we host a bi-weekly get-togethers where we talk about various issues. And we've been doing that since the shutdown started, because shutdown started in March of 2020, and we kicked off 2 weeks after it started. We're like, okay, since everybody's at home, let's utilize this Zoom thing. I'd never heard of Zoom until the shutdown. And so we started, and we've been going strong ever since. Every other Thursday, we meet and we have discussions. And we originally envisioned it as a way for people in Central Arkansas to come together. But it's actually become a national thing. We have people every other Thursday on the call from all over the United States. A couple of times we've had people from different countries that get on the call as well. But that's one of the main things that we do in bringing people together and making these bridges is to start these conversations. And let's give a platform where everyone can tell their story and everyone can listen to other people's story, because that's what we are. We're humans who have stories. And once we get to that basic foundational level and agree that everyone is a human and everyone has a story, or multiple stories. I have a story for each phase of my life that I can tell you about. But when we start listening to those stories, we start finding out just how much we have in common and just how there's a through line in everything. So you can be a starch red, a staunch blue, and still realize, hey, well, we're both parents, or we're both children, we're both uncles, we're both homeowners, we both like to fish. You know, there are so many different commonalities that we have once we start listening to the stories, and then we could use those commonalities to get comfortable with each other, and then branch out and once that trust is built and start tackling things that are a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, and one of the things, as you know, that Braver Angels does is the very kind of thing you're talking about, getting people together to tell stories and of course, in this case, many times the story has to do with their political stance. But just like you said, when people get together and talk to each other with some respect and really listen, you find out all sorts of different ways in which they have lots in common they didn't realize. And that helps to work against the tendency to dehumanize and at the very least stereotype people on the other side when you're only talking to your camp, to your tribe.
The thing about stories that I like so much, I'm such a fan of NPR StoryCorps. And when I ran the City of Little Rock's radio station out at West Central Community Center, we worked really hard to bring StoryCorps to Little Rock on a youth type tip. And we weren't able to get that done, but when they finally decided that they were going to come to Little Rock after the shutdown, you know, they called me and Clarice up and they said, hey, we're coming. We need a list of community organizations that would like to partner with us to help get these stories recorded. And I gave them my list, and Braver Angels was on that list.
Good for you. We appreciate that. You know, so we're talking about people learning about the humanity in each other, even when we have different political ideologies. And I've long thought that one of the important things is to adhere to a set of values that you can identify, because that helps to limit the tendency to form tribes. Because when you're in a tribalism kind of approach, you do whatever your tribe wants, and it kind of sometimes goes against your values. But when you make the tribe more important than your values, that's a problem. So I like to ask people about their values that underlie their political views or their work and things like that. So could you tell us a little bit about your own personal values that underlie the work that you do?
Well, I hesitate on that, using values like that, because values vary based on people's upbringing or what they were taught and everything. And you can be taught values that aren't productive, per se. I do have principles, though, that I teach my children, my biological children, also the children that we work with in the community. And, you know, there's just two real principles that we deal with. One is do what you say you're going to do. You know, be a man or woman of your word. And then two, if you harm someone, whether it's intentional or not, you know, be man or woman enough once that is brought to your attention to work with that person to repair that person and make that person back as much as you can whole as before you harm them. So, you know, be a man of your word and do your very best not to harm someone. So those are the two guiding principles that I was actually taught as a child by my grandfather, and I've carried them on throughout my life, and I've taught them to my own three children myself.
Well, you've given me something to think about, the difference between principles and values. We may or may not get into that later, but that's an interesting thought. Thank you for that.
I think, Kwame, sometimes I think about, you know, what brings us to the work that we do and the passions that you have are clear. But I also sometimes think that the work that we do changes us. It yes. creates and impacts us in a way. And so I'd love to hear you talk about how your involvement with Come to the Table and Braver Angels and the other kind of organizations that you've worked with, how that has impacted the way that you think and behave individually.
Well, I can tell you a little bit of a story that led up to that. I grew up as, I guess you could say I was in the middle class. So I didn't want for anything. And I didn't really have opportunities where I experienced in my family growing up with my mother, my father, and my two brothers. I didn't really experience, really wanting something because I had everything that I needed. And when I graduated from Little Rock Central High School and went off to the United States Air Force Academy, I went there with a mission of getting my piece of the American pie and, you know, flying off into the sunset and everything. And it was when I got to the United States Air Force Academy that I encountered my first instances of, you know, being called a nigger, being called a boy, being treated really bad on a daily basis, seeing at the Air Force Academy, seeing Confederate flags flying everywhere. It was a really difficult time for me at 19 to try to deal with this. And it it sent me into a situation where I had some mental problems. I ended up resigning from the Air Force Academy because I couldn't deal with that. And I became homeless. I was homeless for a homeless veteran for off and on for 3-4 years. And I just couldn't get my stuff together because of what I was dealing with. But what it did, it made me a very angry Black man. And I was very angry with America, very angry with white people. And I sat with that anger for decades, for literally 25 years somewhat. And it wasn't until my first child was born that I really kind of got out of that feeling angry and hostile and everything. And so when I come into the opportunities of being able to sit down across the table from people that are so different and people that may, you know, may tell me to my face how they really feel about me, particularly if they don't like me, I don't have that anger anymore. All I have is the humility to, hey, I still want to hear what you have to say. I still want to hear your story because, you know, it's important for me to hear you out so that I can try my best to understand from whence you came. And when I understand from whence you came, that goes back to the common thread that we have. There's something that we all deal with. You know, when I came back home to Little Rock after being homeless in Atlanta, like I said, for a minute, I heard this rumor that the Ku Klux Klan had regular weekly meetings at the Denny's on Shackelford Road every Wednesday evening. And when I heard that rumor, I'm like, okay, well, guess where I'm eating dinner next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So I intentionally scheduled my dinner to go eat at the Denny's on Shackelford after I heard that. And when I saw all these white men and women going into the back room and the door kept closing, I'm like, I'm going to go knock on that door.
You are truly a braver angel.
Indeed. So I went and I knocked on the door, and they opened the door. When they opened the door, they were all shocked. You could see the shock on everybody's face when I walked in and sat down. And, you know, they asked me to introduce myself, and I introduced myself, and they asked me what I was, what I wanted and what was I interested in. And then, you know, I said, well, you know, I'm a veteran. And I heard that there was a whole bunch of flag waving people that met here regularly, and I just wanted to be a part of it. And I started going to the meetings every Wednesday, and I still have friends that I met there. And it wasn't the KKK. It was actually the Arkansas Patriot Movement, something like that. One thing that I learned about doing that is in being a braver angel, you have to, that braver is the key. You have to be brave and you also have to be an angel. And a lot of times we choose the angel part and we forget about the braver part. So.
Well, thanks to our listeners today for joining us on this edition of On the Other Hand. This is another two-part edition that we're going to have because our discussion with Kwame Abdel-Bey continued into a second half hour. And so this is the first half hour that you just listened to. Kwame comes to us having worked with the Arkansas Peace and Justice Memorial Movement and multiple other organizations like Come to the Table. So be sure to check out this and the second edition of this, as well as future podcast episodes of On the Other Hand, on the Braver Angels Arkansas website, which you can find at arkansas.braverangels.org. And it'll be obvious there where you can find it, because there's a link there for Arkansas podcast. So that's arkansas.braverangels.org.
And when you go there, know that we'd love to hear from our listeners about any feedback you have for us, what you like about our program, ways you think we can improve, topics you want to hear about, anything you want to share with us, let us know. And you can do that by going to that Braver Angels website that April just mentioned. There will be an email link for sending the email to us, and then you can send it and give us your feedback. We'd appreciate that. Thanks for being here today. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. The music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band. Dr. Richard Main, conductor.
From your host, April Chatham Carpenter, and
Glenn White.
Have a good evening, and let's all work to bring our community closer together.